Yud Tes Shvat, Sunday the 12th of February, Rabbi Zev Lef, Mishpatei Hashem.
Normally understand that Mishpatim are rational laws basically, most of them between Adam L'Chaveiro, and have a rational idea behind them. And the chukim are super rational laws. They're not irrational laws. They're super rational. They're beyond rationale. And they usually are things that are between man and HaKadosh Baruch. If that's the case, then the pasuk that we say every day needs a lot of explanation. Lo osa chen l'chol goy u'mishpotim bal yidom haleluka. I understand chukim bal yidom. Goyim don't know of our chukim. They don't understand paraduma. They don't understand kashrus. But mishpotim, goyim have mishpotim. They also don't murder and they don't steal, and the things in the Torah that are rational, goyim also have an understanding of those things. What does it mean mishpotim bal yidom? Should have said chukim bal yidom. The answer is that the explanation I gave in the beginning is not true. Mishpatim are not rational laws per se, neither are chukim super rational laws. The difference between mishpatim and chukim is only that the mishpatim have more of a rational side to them than their super rational side. And chukim have more of a super rational side than the rational side. But chukim also have a rational side to them, and mishpatim have a super rational side. And that's why the Sanhedrin, who dealt mostly with mishpat, had to sit near the Mizbeach. Because as much as the Mizbeach was something that connected between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbanu Shel Olam, the mishpatim also connect between the Rabbanu Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. They're not merely laws to keep society intact, but they are laws that have a tremendous spiritual connection also, and I'll show you in a few seconds what that is. And therefore, every Bein Adam L'Chaveiro has in it also a Bein Adam L'Makom. Not just that the Rabbanu Shel Olam said don't steal, and because of that, if you steal, you are both doing harm to another person, and you are transgressing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said not to do. That's a simple idea, even more than that. Not only does stealing affect society, it affects our relationship with the Rabbanu Shel Olam too. It has a spiritual effect, aside from the physical effect also. And in addition to that, the black and white areas of mishpatim are rational, but the gray areas are not. Example, murder. Everybody understands you don't go into the street and kill somebody. It's rational. Right? People would end up killing each other, whoever they wanted to. There couldn't be a society. Makes sense. But how about abortion? Okay. Is abortion a rational thing? There are plenty of rational people who can give you a very nice argument why abortion should be okay. And I would never want to debate them from a purely rational standpoint. Because there are a lot of rational arguments. The answer is, the Rabbanu Shel Olam said that under most circumstances, not all circumstances, it's murder. Does it make sense? Is it a rational murder? I don't know. There's a good rational argument the other way. How about euthanasia? Mercy killing. Right, somebody's 119 years old, suffering terribly, right? Can't function, and he wants you to help him to leave this world. Okay? He asks you. And all he wants you to do is give him an overdose of his painkiller so he can die peacefully. Rationally, I wouldn't want to argue against that. But the Torah said it's awesome. It's murder. Is that rational? No. Beyond rationale. So the black and white areas of mishpatim may be rational, but the gray areas are not. So every mishpat has a super rational idea to it, and every chok has rationale, even paraduma. How many svarim and how much Torah there is on the ideas of paraduma, even the metame tahorim and metayer tmeim. So there are rational ideas, except ultimately chukim are more super rational than rational. And mishpatim more or less have rational ideas, even though there's a part of them that is beyond that. Let me give you a few examples of halachas that on the surface seem to be religious laws, spiritual laws, and have tremendous implications of rational society, and the opposite. Halachas that seem to be very rational for the sake of society that have tremendous spiritual, universal implications. Let's start with the first one. Torah says, "Ubasar basada treifa lo sochelu." Not allowed to eat a treifa. An animal that has one of 18 different kinds of diseases, problems with it, has a hole in the brain, a hole in the lung, or whatever. So you're not allowed to eat it. La kelef tashlichin osa. So you give it to the kelef. So you all know the medrash. The medrash says, why do you give it to the dog? Because the dogs in Mitzrayim didn't bark, and therefore they deserve the reward. By Yitzhias Mitzrayim, the Vilna Gaon says, what was the big deal? The dogs didn't bark. Right. He says that the Gemara says that when dogs bark, it's a siman the Malach HaMavis is around. Had the dogs barked by Makis Bechoros, it would have implied that the Malach HaMavis is doing this, and it wasn't directly by the Rabbanu Shalom. The fact that the dogs didn't bark added to the nesh, and it was clear that it was the Shechina that was killing the Bechoros Mitzrayim, not the Malach HaMavis. So the dogs deserve the reward. That's a medrash. What's the pashut pshat? Why do you give the treifa to the dogs? Says the Dasakeinu Mibalei HaTosfos. Because usually a herd of sheep had a guard dog, a sheep dog, that watched the sheep. Now from that herd, you have an animal you can't eat. So show the dog gratitude and give it what you can eat from its handiwork, from the fact that the dog took care of the herd all these years. There's only one problem. The reason that you have an animal you can't eat is because the dog didn't do his job. Because the regular case, the Torah is talking about a treifa, is where an animal was attacked by a wild animal, a wolf, right, a fox, attacked the herd and damaged one of the animals, put a hole in its lung or whatever. The animal's still alive, you could shecht it, but you're not allowed to eat it. So why should you reward the dog for not doing his job? Says the Dasakanim, true, this time he didn't do his job. But does that erase all the times that he did do his job? You still owe him a hakaras hatov. You owe him some gratitude. What is the...
Which way did the dog not do his job?
Because he let the wild animal come and attack the sheep, which now made it a treifa. That's the normal case of a treifa. An animal that was attacked by another animal that put a hole in its lung, a hole in its brain, or whatever. What are the rational, societal implications of that? Many times people have friends who have done them tremendous favors over the years, and then that friend does one not nice thing. What do we usually do? Erase them. That's it. Finished. Nothing to do with them. You don't treat a dog like that, according to the Torah. You don't let one bad thing erase all the good things. So here is a kashrus law. Right, this is a religious law. Yet the implications for how to treat another human being is obviously part of it also. Another case, the opposite, where something seems to be a rational law between man and man, yet has tremendous implications between man and God. Torah says like this, there's a mitzvah to loan people money, but you want to make sure you get your money back. So you're allowed to take a mashkan. You're allowed to take collateral. So what does a poor person have, right? You're not going to take his real estate. He doesn't have any real estate. You can't take that as collateral. So what do you take? You take his bed, his mattress, as collateral. The only problem is he needs to sleep on his mattress. So there's a halacha, you have to give it back to him every night to sleep, some collateral, right? You hold it during the daytime, you give it at night. You're afraid this guy is going to run away with his mattress at night and not pay you. So one day, you don't give his mattress back, because you're really afraid that he's going to skip town that night, and you want to make sure you have something to hold on to get your money back. But the Torah said you're not allowed to do that. You have to give him the mattress back. Okay, you didn't. You didn't charge the guy interest, you gave him a loan, you're a nice person. One night you didn't give his mattress back. So the Torah says, in Titzak Eli, that poor person will cry out to the Rabban Shalom at night, I don't have my mattress because this person who loaned me the money held it back. Vishamati, I'll listen to his prayer. Kichanun Ani, because I am a gracious God. Think about it for a second. This rich man gave the guy a loan. He didn't charge him any interest. Most of the time he gave him back his collateral and put himself in jeopardy. One night he didn't give it back. And this ingrate has the chutzpah to daven to the Rabbanu Shalom to punish the rich man. The guy loaned you money. Right? He didn't take interest from you. One night he didn't give back your mattress and you have a right to complain? If I was the Rabbanu Shalom, I'd zap that guy with a lightning bolt. Not to... Shamati ki batchkechanu noni. Have rachmanis on the rich man. If you look at the Rashbam, I think he says the following. Really, rationally, relationships between people, the Rabbanu Shalom shouldn't listen to that poor person. Because he's ungrateful. Like, what kind of time does he have? But the rich man has a mitzvah, bin adam l'makom, not bin adam l'chaveru, of ma'hu rachu, ma'fatotei rachu, ma'hu chanu, ma'fatotei chanu. One of the midos of the Rabbanu Shalom is chanu, right? Rachum v'chanu. Rachu means you have mercy when the person deserves it. Chanun is grace, matnas chinam, even if the person doesn't deserve it. Says the Rabbanu Shalom, Eino Chinami, in your relationship, being Adam Lechaveiro, you can't have too much tainus on you. But I have tainus on you that you didn't emulate my midos and become a person who's giving matnas chinam. Right? Lemaisa, you should have given this guy Lechatchila the money without getting the thing you're getting back. I allowed you to get it back. But be so careful that you get it back, that you take away the guy's mattress. He doesn't have a tain on you, but I have a tain on you. You're not being a chanun. Ki chanun oni. That's the idea. So here, it's a halacha that seems to be bein odom l'chaveiro, but it's not really. It's really a mitzvah bein odom l'mako. So here there's a mixture of what seems to be a law that has to do between people. All of a sudden, we're mixing in something that's beyond that completely. Another example. A ganav has to pay kefil. Right? He has to pay double what he steals. A goslin, somebody, a purse snatcher, who in broad daylight steals somebody's purse, only has to pay back the purse. Doesn't have to pay double. One of the reasons is, the Gemara says, because the goslin's not afraid of anybody. He steals in broad daylight. He's not afraid of anybody, so he has to pay back what he... But a ganav's afraid of people. Otherwise he wouldn't sneak into your house at night. He'd come and steal, he's not afraid of you. He's afraid of you. So he sneaks into your house at night. But he's not afraid of the Rabbanu Shalom. So because he's not afraid of the Rabbanu Shalom, but he's afraid of people, that's worse. He has the capacity to fear. and he uses it for people, not for the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So we make him pay double. Chara, that's a rational law. What does that have to do with the fact that he stole from somebody? Rationally, you pay back. Right? The fact we make him pay double is already a religious law, because he doesn't have the kind of Yerushalayim we should have. So we're mixing together a Bein Adam Lechavero and a Bein Adam Lemakom. Right? In addition to that, if you steal a shor or a set, and you shecht it, or you sell it, so the halach is you have to pay four times for the seh and five times for the shor. So there's a rational idea there also. The shor, you stopped the person from being able to use it for work. You didn't only take his shor, you took his livelihood away too, so you have to pay more. The seh he could have used for other things. But the Gemara also says another idea, and that is the seh, the person had to carry on his shoulders. Sure, he can lead through the street. So the seh, he already was mevaza himself. He already insulted himself, right? And exposed himself to embarrassment by walking through the streets carrying a seh. So we take off one time. Really, he should pay five for both of them. But he already got part of his punishment. What does that have to do with the other guy? Rationally, you stole something. I understand you caused the person a tremendous loss, so you have to pay back four or five times. But because you were embarrassed, therefore we take off one time, what does that do with the other guy? And you see from here also, there's a mixture. It's not purely a Bein Adam Lechaveru. There's a Bein Adam Lemakom here too. Ad Kedei Kach. But this idea of Arba Lechamisha, that seems to be a halacha between man and man, how people have to deal with each other, people can't steal from each other, has tremendous spiritual implications. The Vilna Gaon explains the following. The pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Ish echad me'elef matzasi, the isha achas lo matzasi, Koheles. Pasuk in Koheles. So the Medrash says it's going on the Chet HaEgel. One man out of the thousand sinned, and out of 600,000, that means there were 600 people who sinned by the Chet HaEgel. But women, none of the women sinned by the Chet HaEgel. Says the Vilna Gaon, the Torah says not like that. According to this, there are only 600 people that sinned by the Chet HaEgel. Yet it says that in the Magefa that the Rabban Shom brought to kill the people who served the Egel, that the Noflu Kishloshes Alfeish, 3,000 people. According to this Medrash, only 600 people sinned. And here it says 3,000. Says the Vilna Gaon, one of the esoteric ideas of the Egel was they wanted to manipulate God's control over the world. They felt that they were helpless, vulnerable in the desert, and they needed the power of Parnassa that they could control through the Egel to make sure that they would have Parnassa in the desert. So they stole the shore from the Maisa Merkava. They took that power and tried to concentrate it in the Egel. Shor Ochel Esav, says. That was how the Egel was, like a shor. The Ramban says, Rav Tvuos Bekoach Shor, the shor is a symbol of Parnassa. They needed to harness that power of Parnassa that was in the Rabban Shom Merkava. So they stole the shor. If you steal a shor, you have to pay back five times. So therefore, there are only 600 people who sinned. But when the Rabbanu Shalom exacted punishment from them, it was kishloshes alfeish. It was like 3,000. Because 5 times 600 is 3,000. So the Rabbanu Shalom exacted punishment, not that he killed 3,000 people. Only 600. But those 600 were considered like 3,000, since the halacha is chamisha tachas hashor. So here is a halacha that seems to be rational, right, between man and man. And yet it has esoteric, Bein Adam Lemakom implications, even in things that have nothing to do with rationale. And that's why it says, Mishpatei Hashem Emes, Tzodku Yachtov. The Mishpatim of Bnei Adam are situational ethics. They fit the situation. But the Mishpatei Hashem are emes. They have tzadku yachtov. Tzadku yachtov can mean they have two ideas to them. There's not only the Bein Adam Lechaveiro idea of tikkun of society, but also has a super rational idea between man and God. Every mitzvah, Bein Adam Lemakom, affects people too, pollutes the world, has an effect on other people, and every mitzvah, Bein Adam Lechaveiro, has effects on the spiritual makeup of the world also. There's no clear line of demarcation between Bein Adam Lechaveiro and Bein Adam Lemakom, between rational laws and super rational laws. They're all mixed together. Except these are predominantly like this, and these are predominant. And therefore, the Torah says, "Umishpotim b'yadom." It's not just the chukim that the Rabbanu Shlom didn't teach the nations of the world, but it's also the mishpotim. They don't know mishpatei Hashem, and that explains something that everybody speaks about. When the Rabbanu Shlom came to give the Torah, so we offered it to Bnei Esav, and they asked, "What's in it?" So the Rabbanu Shlom told them, "It says Lo Sirtzach, not a lot of murder." So they said, "Well, not a lot of murder. We can't accept the Torah says you can't murder, because we have a bracha from Yitzchak Avinu, Al Charb Chatichya. We live by the sword." So the Rabbanu Shlom left them, went to Yishmael. They asked also, "What's in it?" The Rabbanu Shlom said, "It says Lo Signov, can't steal." Steal? We have a bracha from a Malach, Yodo Bakol, the Yad Kol Bo. Our hands in everybody's pocket, and their hands in our pocket. We can't have a Torah that says you can't steal. He left them. So everybody asks, what did they gain? Stealing and Ritzich are Bin Odom Lechaveiro, they're part of Shev Mitzvei Noach. So if they didn't accept the Torah, what does it help? They still were Chayiv in Shev Mitzvei Noach. Now the answer is, from Sheva Mitzvei Bnei Noach, could be, not so posh, the Michlis Chinnis is not like this, but it could be that they have to set up a system where they make the details, right? They are allowed to make up a social justice system that decides what's considered stealing, what's not considered stealing, or whatever. That they can live with. If it's rational, we can rationalize away anything, right? And we could make stealing into economy, and the economy into stealing, right? People have a way of distorting things. In the 60s in America, and the college campuses, they had a sexual revolution. And they created a new morality. It wasn't a new morality, it was the old immorality. Except if you call it new morality, it's okay. There's a Medrash that points this out. Sodom and Amorah. Medrash says that Eliezer, Eved Avram, once went to Sodom, and he was attacked, mugged. Right, left bleeding on the street. So he was a gibor. He got up and he chased his assailant and he captured him. He brought him to court. The courts in Sodom had judges whose names were Sheker, Chazov. So he brought him before the judge named Sheker. And the judge says, "What do you want?" He said, "This man mugged me." So the judge said, "Did he make you bleed?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Then you owe him $50 for bloodletting."
Oh.
Eliezer wasn't a tippish, so he punched the judge in the mouth, made him bleed, and he said, "Look, whatever you owe me, pay him." What's the Medrash mean? The Medrash means, if you think in Sodom and Amorah it was anarchy, there was no laws, it was lawless, that's not the way it is. There were laws. The laws were cruel. Human beings have the ability to distort anything. And even if it says you can't murder, they'll make it something else. The Nazis didn't have laws, Nuremberg laws. Laws. But the laws were corrupt. And they turned murder into ethnic cleansing. It's okay. Just change the name. And it's okay to do. That's why Tzelzer HaShiva says by the Meyaldos, Vatireno HaMeyaldos Esu Elokim Velo Osu Kasher Dibur Alei Melech Mitzrayim. To kill little babies, you have to have Yiras Hashem. You have to be a man. You have to, a human being. Human beings don't kill little babies. It says the Torah, no. If you don't have Yiras Hashem, if you don't understand that the Mishpatim are also bein adam lamakom, not just bein adam. It's only on rationale. You can rationalize away anything, and it can become okay to kill little babies too. And we know that that's happened in history many times. And that's why Avram Avinu told Avimelech. Avimelech was a very refined, law-abiding person. But he told him, and Avimelech said, how could you do this to us? How could you tell us that your wife is your sister and put us into such a danger of being over on Eish HaSish? So Avram Avinu answered him, Rak amarti en yiras Hashem b'mokom hazeh v'harguli al zvarishti. There's no Yerushalayim. You're very moral people. You're very principled people. But there's no Yerushalayim here. And if it's built on rationale, if it's built on morality, then tomorrow they can revamp all their morals and make it okay to take somebody's wife too and to kill him for it. And all you have to do is redefine your morals and make a new morality, and then the new morality will be okay. If there's Yiras Hashem and that governs the Mishpatim, it's a different story. So therefore the Goyim were willing to remain with Losir Tzach and Losignov as long as it was dependent on their rationale. But in the Kabbalah, the Torah, with Rabbanu Shalom was the one who qualified what's Losir Tzach and what's Losignov that they couldn't accept. So even though these are part of Shev Mitzvei Noach, but Shev Mitzvei Noach, they're rational mitzvahs. As Mishpatei Hashem, Emes, Tzadku Yachtov, there's not just the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, not just the rational. There's a super rational part that they couldn't accept. So therefore we learn Parshas Mishpatim, Ve'eile HaMishpatim, connects Maimed Har Sinai just as much as the Aseres HaDibros is a Hisgalus from the Rabbanu Shalom, it's a revelation from the Rabbanu Shalom. All the Mishpatim, which may seem to be rational laws for the sake of creating a functioning society, they are as much a revelation from the Rabbanu Shalom as all the other laws in the Torah. And if we treat those laws like that, we understand there's no difference from kite-wise between a person who keeps kashrus and all of the Bein Adam L'Makom and a person who keeps Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. End with a story. The somebody's supposed to tell me when I'm supposed to finish it. I don't know if I'm taking away somebody else's time or all your time. I'm not a ganav either. Stealing time is also... Let me tell you a story, and then we'll stop. Somebody once came to the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Mordechai Katz, that's out. And he said, Rabbi, I don't understand these religious Jews who lie and cheat in business and fool the government or whatever. And I don't understand. They're religious people. How could they do such a thing? So Reb Muttal said to him, you know, I have the same problem. I don't understand these religious Jews who eat on Yom Kippur and eat treif and are mechal Shabbos. The guy said, what are you talking about? Those aren't religious Jews. He said, neither were the first ones. That's the difference. If you understand that Mishpatei Hashem Emes Tzadku Yachtov, then there's no line of demarcation between being frum and being honest. They go together. Can't make a difference between them. In fact, as I'll say, there's a Rosh Ra and a Rosh She'eino Ra. And there's a Tzadik Tov and a Tzadik She'eino Tov. Somebody says, what kind of Tzadik She'eino Tov? What kind of Rosh She'eino Ra? Said, a person who's good, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, but not good, Bein Adam L'Makom, he's a Rosh She'eino Ra. And a person who's good, Bein Adam L'Makom, but not good, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, he's a Tzadik She'eino Tov. Why? Because somebody who only accepts rational laws, Be'etzem, tomorrow, he could be a Rosh. Because he is the decider of what's rational and what's not rational. Today, rationally, it's not okay to kill people. Tomorrow, I don't like somebody, it's rationally okay to kill him. And he can make up a whole new philosophy of why it's okay to kill that person or that kind of person or that group of people or whatever. So he potentially is a Rasha, except he's Eino Ra. At this point, he's not bad. A person who accepts the fact that the Rabbanu Shel Olam can tell him what to do, except he has a yetzer hara. So he steals and he cheats, but he's potentially a tzaddik. Eventually he's going to wake up and realize that the Rabban Shem told him he can't cheat and he can't steal either. It's just a matter of time. Either that or he'll give up everything. That'll be a Rasha Shehura. But if he's going to remain, there's a chance at least that tomorrow will change. The other way around, there's a chance tomorrow will change for the worse. So a person who's good, beinon lemakom, but not beinon lechadero, is potentially a tzaddik. He's just ain't no tov. Right now he's not good. And the other one is potentially a Rasha. It's just right now he's ain't no ra. But a really frum person is a person who doesn't distinguish between Bein Adam L'Chadero and Bein Adam L'Makom, and knows that every Bein Adam L'Chadero is also Bein Adam L'Makom, and every Bein Adam L'Makom is also Bein Adam L'Chadero, and there's no line that separates them. Mishpatim, Chukim, they're all the same. Just a matter of what perspective, which one has more rationale, which one has less rationale. But even the Mishpatim are something that the Rabban Shalom is Miyachet to Klal Yisrael, who Mishpatim Bad Yedom, Hallelujah. Well,